Every time I die, she said, I come back hotter and bigger.
I keep knocking over my microphone. I'm getting so excited.
You're just too big. You're too big.
These huge tits.
Woo! I know. Over here, I can barely contain them in this shirt. Every time I die, I come back bigger and hotter. When you get burned, you keep going. You don't stop. You know who you are. That's big.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hanks.
Episode 116.
Woo! We made it. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet, obviously.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hanks podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Magically.
Oh my gosh, we have such a fun episode to dive in today, all about being big and dreaming bigger. It's the theme of the month for us as we go into March. There's a lot happening in the Goddess Hanks world that we're focusing on being big. So we're excited to do an episode all about it. But before we dive into that, Juliet, what's new with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, since last week's earthing episode, I have been spending as much time with feet in the grass as possible. And also beneath my very feet right now is a fabulous grounding mat.
Oh, wow. Mat.
So I'm just like touching the earth up on the third floor right now, which is very exciting. And I have noticed that my joint pain has lessened. So it's doing something. It's doing something. So I can toss that link up in my stories. There's lots of options. The one I got's really nice. So I'm very excited about that. I tried to give my bird a bath yesterday. You know, birds are supposed to love water. Mine does not. And she tried to rip my finger off, which was unfortunate. But you know, she was scared. And she took a bath and it was so cute. So I put her in the bathroom sink and there's nothing sadder than a wet, defeated bird. I'll tell you what. And I took one of those little like medicine plastic cups that comes on the top of like a cold and flu liquid bottle. And I used that to pour water at her. She's so little. And then she sat in her cage for an hour and stared at me like, you
bitch.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But then, somebody was so fresh and clean and had a wonderful day. But Sweetie girl's on the wavelength that we're on right now with this big energy because she usually likes her oldies, but the song Big Dick Energy came on my phone and she started losing it. I was like, oh, well, let's play it on the speakers. And she danced like she's never danced. And I was like, yes, you get it. You're with it.
Go, sweetie girl.
So let her be an inspiration to us all. That's new with me. What else? Oh, my friend who I met, we used to nanny in the same house. My friend was the full-time nanny. I think she worked from like 11 to 8 or 11 to 9. And then I would come in after and babysit at night, or I would come in on the weekends, or I was like the number two. Mm-hmm. And I just was in awe of her. I think when I was 18 or 19, she was like 31, 32. And I just thought, oh my God, she was the coolest girl ever. She had her cute little Audi that she drove. She lived in a studio apartment in Santa Monica. She knew how to go through bars and never pay for a thing. Like she showed me the way.
Yeah.
And she lives in Boston, but she happened to come into town and we got to catch up and have lunch together and walk by the marina. And she now also runs her own amazing, abundant business. And I thought, oh my gosh, like think of all the times that we loaded that dishwasher. I think of all the times that we stirred that macaroni and cheese and got the kids ready for bed. And, you know, it was perfect at the time. It was a lot of fun. And I treasure those years. And that we both sort of moved through to the other side of that, I thought was like we were just totally celebrating it. And it was really fun. And also just so full circle, because now I'm the age that she was when I met her. And of course, when you're 18, 31 just sounds like, you know, 25,000 years away.
Yeah.
And then you blink and you're 31. And so that was very, very fun. I loved that. And we were walking past people on their boats. There was one boat we walked past, and this guy was in a hammock on his boat, and he had maybe like his partner with him. And then there's this like little orange tabby cat, like hanging out with them on the boat, and their dog was there. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just want to sit on a boat. It never has to go into the water.
Oh yeah.
I just want to sit on a boat. So this year I'm going to manifest sitting on a boat. I'm very excited for that. And then we had a really fun dinner for one of our friends at this restaurant in Silver Lake called Bacara. And it was delicious and fun and magical. And there were just like twinkle lights everywhere and big fires. And we had gone to happy hour before, and they had $5 drinks. And so I had a lot of fun at that happy hour bar. Once every like 2 months, I cut loose. And then I'm like, I never want to drink again.
I know. Every time I have more than two drinks, I'm like, I think I'm going to be sober now.
I know.
And then,
I had two and a half later. And the half was a mistake. The half was like, I could not even see straight. So, but I had fun. And then afterwards, Victor has this group of friends that he's been really close with since high school. And they still have that high school energy about them, where like we went back to their place after and everybody was just like lying on the floor and like cracking jokes. I said, this is very healing for me. This is like what I didn't do in college. Mm-hmm. This is like what I wasn't doing in high school. I was like hustling and building a music career. I wasn't like lying on the floor talking about things. So it felt very, very healing. And then I think that's all that's new with me other than just everything we're going to talk about, like these energy shifts and the bigness and just having my mind blown by this class that you and I both took. And we're going to share the wealth with you today. But yeah, that's what's new with me. What about you, Sadie?
Oh my gosh. When you said, okay, let's go back to the boat. Mm-hmm. I'm planning and booking more stuff for the first leg of my trip. I'm trying to have like New Zealand and Australia, which is basically the first month of my trip, completely, you know, booked. So I've been doing a lot of just like reading reviews and where do I want to stay and all this stuff. But my cousin and her friend, Alexa and Reagan, they are divers. They're both scuba diving certified. And so they're going on this liveaboard trip to dive on the Great Barrier Reef. Because of course, if you're in Australia, you have to do that. And I am definitely, I have no interest in becoming scuba certified. Terrifying. No, thank you. Like I at most want to go 2 feet under the water. Like I do not want to dive down to great depths. Oh, big terrifying. Same. I know there's a lot of magic down there, but anyways, she's been talking to me about this it's called a liveaboard, and I think they're going to be on it for like 4 nights and 2 full days. Like it takes like 6 hours to travel out there or something like that. And then you have like 2 full days and they boop, boop, boop you around to dive in different spots. And you can go even if you just want to snorkel. I don't, you know, whatever. And so I was like, okay, like I love being on a boat, but I didn't know that the reason you do a liveaboard to go to the Great Barrier Reef is because it's very far out. I thought a liveaboard was like booping across along the coast, but you just never get off the boat, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was contemplating it for a while. I was like, well, I should go see the Great Barrier Reef if I'm in Australia. And then I found out that actually you go out and out and out and out, and there's no land in sight, and you are hours away from anything. And you're totally safe. They do these constantly. I know that. You probably even see other boats, but holding a crystal today, I just want to. But I was like, if anyone's wondering what I'm holding on to, I just feel like holding it. It's my big energy crystal, carnelian. Anyways, I was just like, no fucking way in hell am I gonna be 2 full days not seeing land. I cannot do that. And it's not like a cruise ship is different. This is a little liveaboard boat that's got like 4 cabins on it. It's not that big. And I was like, absolutely not.
Did you read that book in 5th grade? The book whose name I cannot remember, but it was the young blonde girl who lived on a ship and was like empowered.
I was like Pippi Longstocking. She wasn't blonde.
Yeah, her she dad was the like blonde a girl who lived on a ship.
Wasn't her dad like a pirate or something? She wasn't on a ship, but she was at like harbors. I don't. Anyways, no, I don't know the book you're talking about.
I'm gonna see if I can look it up while you tell your story.
That's not me. So I have taken myself out of the liveaboard option. It's not for me. You know, I think I'll just remote view the Great Barrier Reef. I'll watch videos, and that's just something that I've decided I don't need to see for myself. I'm okay with that. I've made peace with it. There's plenty of other things to do in Australia. But okay, so at the time of recording, I leave in 12 days. I have to give you guys the countdown. I think when this comes out, it'll be like exactly 1 week before I leave, which is crazy. And that being 1 week before I go to California first, because I have to see Juliet and my cats before I leave the country.
I'm so ready!
Mama needs to see her cats. But I made a couple notes because the biggest thing that we're hearing from people who are thinking about our Bali retreat is just having a little bit of nervousness around traveling that far. And I've also just gotten lots of questions about like, how do you do it? Like, how do you travel like that? Like for longer periods of time or by yourself? Because parts of this trip I'm by myself and parts of this trip I'm with my cousin. And at first I'm by myself. So I made a couple notes for everyone who's excited by the thought, because a lot of us, I feel like we want to travel, but we don't have like the person who will commit to going with us, right? Like so it's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself, which is very on brand with today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
After today's episode, you're going to feel so big and so confident, and you're going to book your trip either to Bali with us or the trip you've been dreaming about on your own. And it's going to be so exciting. So here are a couple of things for anyone feeling overwhelmed or nervous by the idea of traveling. Okay. So first of all, I've been doing lots of communicating with different Airbnbs and hostels and all this stuff. And I want you to remember this. People are so fucking willing to be helpful. People that run Airbnbs and hotels and hostels, that is what they're there for. They're so ready to answer questions. My biggest anxiety factor is like, what do I do when I get there? Like, I'm in the airport and I get stressed about, do I take a cab or a bus? How far is it? What's the best way? What's the safest way? Whatever. And literally the place that you book, just ask them and they get asked this every single day and they're like, have the answer. And it doesn't have to be a stressful experience at all. So just remembering that people are so willing to be helpful, and like, especially if it's literally someone that's an Airbnb host or working at a hotel or hostel, like that's their job. They're so excited to answer any questions you have about the logistics of getting from point A to point B. And on top of that, being like, oh, by the way, this is the close by neighborhood that you got to eat here and you got to shop here and you got to do that. Like, people are so willing to be helpful. So remember that out. I've just been like so amazed how like I'll have like a question and then they give me all the tea on like, oh, this is what you got to do, by the way. So that's exciting. And here are some things that felt overwhelming to me, but were actually very easy. 1, visas. Simply Google if you need a visa for the country. When I go to New Zealand, I need a visa. And I was like, what? what do I have to do for that? Literally, you just fill out a form and you pay like $20 and you're good. That's it. And it's all on your phone and it's not stressful at all. But that's something that sounded like a big deal to me. And then I think the next biggest thing that can be overwhelming, especially if you want to travel for a longer period of time, like let's say you're like, ooh, I'm coming to Bali with Sadie and Julia. And then I want to spend like one more week after that exploring like more of Indonesia or Southeast Asia. Great. I have a tip for you because it can feel overwhelming. I have, and by the way, I can make this into like a blank form for people. DM me if you're like, I want that. I made a basically like an Excel sheet, but I did it in Google Forms. And I have the like date of my flight. And then I have the dates of like, I'm staying at this hostel or this hotel or this Airbnb these dates. And I'm staying here these dates. And I'm taking a bus on this date to go to this. And I have it all laid out. And then on top of that, for the flight and for the hotel stays and all of these things, I have a column that says how much it costs, a column of how much I've paid. Because for a lot of stuff, you don't pay in full right away. Like a flight, I've like paid it off in full. But hotel, you know, you put down like half of it or whatever. And then I have like the balance of what I still owe. So not only do I feel really good about the logistics of where I'm going and that I have indeed booked myself somewhere to sleep every night of this, you know, many month journey I'm doing a month at a time. I also know like, oh, okay, this is how much I've paid. This is how much I'm going to be paying like on arrival or whatever. So I feel so good because I'm just in the know, right? So that really helped. And it took 2 seconds to throw it together. And like I said, DM me if that's something that I should share. Maybe, you know what? We were going to make a witchy travel guide and maybe I can make a little blank set like this for you. But that really helped me. And then the next thing is like, oh my God, what do I pack for a longer trip? First of all, there's so many YouTube videos, TikToks, whatever. So I don't need to get into that. But just remember, like, what do I need to be safe and what do I need to be comfortable? And the rest you can figure out later. Like if you forget underwear, whatever, you'll buy underwear. What you need to make sure you have is like, you know, battery packs for like chargers, because if you have a flight delay or you can't find an outlet in an airport you've never been to before or whatever, like make sure you have stuff like that. Something that I have is an outlet converter that has multiple ways you can plug into different outlets around the world. And then I can plug in my, you know, US stuff into there. And like, those like a nice travel neck or a nice like travel pillow neck thing that's easy to store. I have like a travel mirror that I can charge and it has like really nice light in it. If I'm like going from a flight straight to doing something and I want to freshen up, like it's just like little things where I'm like, how can I have the most convenience and also make sure I'm super safe? You need to have chargers and you need to have like just some little comfort stuff. And if you look at my Amazon storefront, you can actually see everything that I bought for this trip. And the other thing that I was felt overwhelmed by, but was actually not that big of a deal, was I was like, oh my God, for 6 months, what's going to happen with my phone? what do I do? And I've traveled for 6 weeks before was my longest trip. And so you can just go. I literally went on the website and checked in with my phone plan. What happens if I turn on data like overseas? And I looked up the countries I'll be in. And it's just like remember back in the day, like, I don't know if this is going to age me, but back in the day, if you called your friend from your landline and they lived in a different city that was like not even that far away, you had a long distance charge. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. It'd be like, you called grandma loyal. That call needs to be 5 minutes or less. She only lives 20 minutes away, but it's whatever. So it's kind of like that. Like if you make a call or send a text, there's like a little bit of a charge, but they're not even that bad. And I love, it's so freeing because your service isn't as good, but you can get it. But it's so freeing to just have your data turned off all day long and you can still take your pictures and everything. And then like kind of only have your phone when you're on Wi-Fi, which like every restaurant you go to, your hotels, your Airbnbs, whatever, just make sure you're staying places with Wi-Fi, which almost everywhere does. And that's like the only time like your phone is on. Oh my God, it feels so good. It's like mm-hmm. the most amazing feeling. And I'm still safe if I'm out somewhere and I need my data, because I can turn it on and just, it's like the charge isn't even that big of a deal. So those are a few things I just wanted to say for anyone that's feeling like they're wanting to plan their own big trips, extended travel, maybe come to Bali with us, and things that I felt like I was getting stressed about and I took care of and I was like, that was no big deal.
Did they even do SIM cards anymore, or is that like a thing of the, because I remember when I went to Israel, I had to buy a SIM card and put it in my phone. They probably don't even do that anymore, do they?
So my cousin Alexa, I think, did something with SIM cards because she has an Android and she could, but I don't think iPhones, you can easily swap them out. I don't know. I just looked at my thing and I have T-Mobile and I was like, oh, like it's just a charge and I'm barely going to use it. Because as long as I'm on Wi-Fi, I can do anything unlimited, you know, especially like iMessage and stuff, which 99% of people that I talk to have iMessage. So it doesn't count towards that. So that's nice. So you just live off of Wi-Fi and it feels really good. But yeah, so I just wanted to say that. And then just like remember for anyone thinking about Bali that anything that's starting to bubble up about like being overwhelmed about the long travel days or what to pack or whatever it is, remember that when you confirm your trip with us, you immediately get popped into our Bali group chat and we're going to be, you know, we're there to like help with that, support each other, coordinate travel days. If you're someone who wants to like stay longer after, maybe you'll even find a buddy in the chat who like also wants to stay longer and you could travel together. Or I'm going to be traveling by myself for the next 6 months for pieces of time, also with two other women, but I'll have so many tips and tricks for all of you as I go through this experience. So if you want to be in that chat with us, or you will be if you decide to come to Bali, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be so low stress because we're all going to be in it together and you have people to come to and say, this is overwhelming me today. And we all get to like work through it together because we're all going to be feeling the same things. You know, it's a big deal to travel that far. And that's part of why it's so exciting and why it's going to be so, travel alone is so transformational because it makes you, it pushes you out of your comfort zone. It puts you in, I mean, literally, you know, a foreign environment where it's not your typical day to day. Your ego is completely shaken up. It's a constant stream of new experiences and there's just nothing quite like it. Like it's thrilling and we get to do it together and we also get to come to workshops with us and it's just going to be so, so magical and so powerful. So, we're going to be putting together a little Bali party. If you're thinking about it, haven't quite decided yet. So there should be a link in the show notes by now. Go check if it's there. But if you want to come to a Bali party with us, you can hop on that little email list there so we can stay in contact with you. And we're also going to send you our little witchy guide for travel. It's going to have some woo-woo tips, some solo travel tips, and we'll be able to all meet on a call and just really chat through like any thoughts you have. And we're going to go more in depth on the workshops we'll be going to be hosting and stuff like that. So if you're even, it's not a commitment, even if you're just curious and you're like, I don't know, but I really want to know more. Please come hang out with us. Our Bali party is going to be later in March, and I'll be in New Zealand when we host it, which is very exciting.
And we're going, I just thought of this because we were talking about that song, Big Dick Energy. The theme of this month and this episode, and honestly, this retreat, is big witch energy.
Yes, of our lives, big witch energy.
I can tell you got big witch energy. Heck yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So the one more thing that is new with me, I'm so long-winded, I feel like.
You're fine.
Like, let me just talk forever. I just analyze everything in my life, you know, but that's what I'm here for. Okay. So if you've been hanging out with us for a while on the podcast, you know that like, a year and a half ago, I had a family member who said some stuff to me about being
not
a witch.
Nice.
that was just like really hurtful and alluded to that, like, oh, you're never going to see your mom again because she's in heaven and you're not going there. It's just crazy. But,
ridiculous.
So, you know, just, it was just really weird and it was really hurtful. And I was obviously like, I was literally traumatized by this. And I've been doing a lot of work around it in different capacities. And, you know, obviously just really hurt. It was a family member that, and it's rooted in that this person's very committed to their Catholic faith. Like, I grew up Catholic. Most of my family is Catholic, but have no issue, you know, with this. And, but that was sort of the basis of it, is just Catholicism. So it also just triggered, you know, any, I guess, lingering just like Catholic guilt that I have in me, like that I've, mm-hmm. you know, it's just something that I work through. And so I just sort of like blocked this person on everything and just didn't want to, I just didn't want them in my life at all. And last summer we had a family reunion, and this was going to be the first time that I'd see this person. And I was still just like in a lot of pain over this, still really triggered by it. And so I had sent them a message and just said like, look, we have a big family. Can we just please avoid each other? Like, I don't want to make it be like, you know, I'm not coming if they're coming, or they can, you know, like I didn't want to do any of that. And that was respected and worked out totally fine. And had a great family reunion. And then, so as you know, like both of my grandparents have had some surgeries and they're doing great. But people have been flying into Wisconsin to just help take care of them, just help them do stuff around the house. And which has actually been really nice because, you know, I wish my grandma got her knee replaced, which is actually amazing because the thing she loves most in this life, there's two things. She loves gardening and she loves riding her bike. She's so precious. My grandparents love riding their bikes, but her knees got so bad that she couldn't bend it enough for the back part of the bike. And she's like, I can't wait to ride my bike this summer because she has both her knees replaced now. So I'm happy. It was a good thing that she got that surgery. But anyways, I'm home. I'm hardly ever home. And I have all my aunts and uncles coming into our little rural part of Wisconsin. So I get to see all of them too, which is really nice. And has been, fun. But this person that said this stuff to me also came into Wisconsin to see my grandparents. And, we got invited to go over to my grandparents' house for a birthday party for my grandma. Grandma Jan turned 85. Shout out. And my first reaction was like, oh, no, I can't go. Like, this person is there. And it's a small set. You know, it's like going to be like, I don't know, 5 or 6 of us. My first reaction was like, oh, no, I can't go. And then I was just, I was like, wait a minute. I feel fine. I was like, wait a minute. I think I'm okay. I think I feel completely neutral. Like I did a little bit more like work around it just to sort of make sure, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think I was still a little eensy bit triggered at first, you know, that first reaction. And then I thought about more. I was like, well, I'm never home for my grandma's birthday. It's her 85th birthday party. She has dementia, and there's just probably not going to be like 20 more birthday parties for her, you know, like I I'm never home during this time. There's no holiday around here. So I was like, I'm going to my grandma's freaking birthday party. And as you guys know, I keep talking about, you know, when I get passionate about something, I just can't stop talking about it. I've been doing Qigong lately. And it's very much centered in like love and compassion and forgiveness. And I wasn't even focusing it on this, thinking about this situation. Literally all of it has been just for myself, compassion for myself, forgiveness for myself, all of these things. And that's what's so cool about doing, like, I know I'm going to say this generally, but this work is that sometimes you just focus on the self and like healing the self, and you don't even realize all the other shit you're healing. It's so cool. And so if anyone's like, what's Qigong? Like I said, my family, we learned from Master Chu Nilin, and you could look up Spring Forest Qigong on YouTube. And I've been doing lots of the exercises on there. And it's a lot of gratitude and compassion, and it's just based in love. And I think through this work, it just evaporated this last, I didn't even mean to. And anyway, so I went to the birthday party and I saw this person and I felt nothing. I didn't feel nothing. I felt love. I felt not even a whisper, not even a spark of anger or a whisper of hurt. I felt completely fine. And I gave this, and I could tell my aunt kept texting me. Like, my one aunt was like, this is who all everyone's going to be at the party. Cause I think they thought I didn't know, cause everyone's aware, in this circle, that I was hurt. And then my other aunt was like, just checking if you're coming. And I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And I think everyone was kind of like, and I said hi to this person and gave them a big hug, and we talked and caught up and didn't mention it at all, and just had a lovely time. And it was so amazing, and it felt so freaking good to realize that, like, I was done with that. I was done with that pain and that hurt. And it was just such a reminder of just that saying of, like, when you hold on to something, like when you withhold forgiveness, like, it's like expecting, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. It's so true. Like, this had so much power and so much weight over me. And I did receive an apology shortly after it happened. You know, this person did recognize what they said was wrong. And it just took me a long time after that to, like, work through it. So it's not like, you know, I was still sipping on that poison for a year and a half about, but, like, I finally worked through it. So there's not, like, some stuff is really hard to forgive. This was something that was really, really hard. Because obviously it just hit such a tender spot, right? With my mom and everything. So just if you're holding on to something, if as I'm talking about needing to forgive someone, someone's coming to mind for you, or a situation, or maybe even something that your partner said or did or whatever, it's like, there's no specific timeline that I can promise you that you'll forgive in this amount of time if you do X, Y, and Z. But I really thought I would just never let this person be in my life again. And I would just never really talk to them. And I would just go to family reunions and just be like, oh, we just don't interact. And I'm just like, that feels so silly to me now that I've gotten to this place where I'm just like, what? I was being such a drama queen. And I wasn't, because it was really hurtful, but, it just feels really good. And just remember, and, like, again, like, I didn't focus on that person through a lot of this. It was more about compassion for myself and forgiveness for myself and love for myself to heal my heart. And just remember that forgiveness is for you. And it doesn't have to mean that that person gets to come back in your life. In my situation, they did, but that's not what that means. It doesn't mean you ever, ever condone what somebody did. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be like, oh, if they said it to me again, you know, whatever, no big deal. Like, no. Yeah. Or something similar happened with this person, right? Then that'd be a different story. But it just means you get to have your peace back. Like, and you get to live with, like, just, like, that peace in your heart. I just, like, I don't know. It just feels so good. And there's been other things that I've really lifted off of me too. But it was just pretty amazing. And even going up to it, I kept having, like, my ego pop in and be like, even on the car ride there, my ego was like, when you get there, you might feel mad again. When you get there, you might not feel good. Like, I was still having those thoughts, even though in my heart, I felt that peace coming in. And I just said, I'm willing to try. I just felt like there was just this moment in my life where I had to just show myself that it was possible, and kind of put into practice everything that I want to share and help others do, and put into practice what I read about and what I think about in my meditation. It's one thing to feel peace in your heart when you're meditating, oh, yes, I feel complete forgiveness and peace. But then it's a whole nother thing to go out in the world and live it, right? And it's like, I think that I've been in my little bubble, my little hermit mode these past 2 months. And I'm like, I have a little bit of this worry of like, oh no, what if like when I like go back into the real world and I'm like traveling and I'm meeting a lot of people and I'm doing a lot of things and I don't have my bubble to be at peace in. what if bad habits come back? What if bad mindsets come back? What? And I'm just like, no. Look at what you just did. That was huge. You're good. You're good, girl. And so it's like, sometimes it takes a little time for what we can make happen in our meditative bubble or our sacred space at home. It takes a little time for us to be able to match that in the real world. So I just want you to have compassion for yourself and love for yourself, because that's part of the process. And so that was just a big, big lesson for me this week. And I'm really grateful. And I wanted to share in case anyone else is going through the same thing, and to just not be hard on yourself if you're not there yet, or if you feel like, I feel really spiritual and full of love at home, and when I go out in the world, I just, I can't hold on to it. Like, that's fine. Just keep doing it at home. And the more it's like we talked about with like meditation, it's like, your resting state, your resting vibration, like it just becomes more and more normal for you to live in that energy, live in that frequency. And it becomes easier and easier for you to carry it with you outside of your safe, sacred space at home. So that's my Sadie's lesson of the week.
I love it. You did really such a good job.
Thank you. So now, well, before we dive in to what I've tagged in my notes as go big or go home. It's your time to dream bigger. That's what I wrote in my notes. Which you can be big at home too. I've been big at home the past 2 months. But as we dive into our topic about being big and dreaming bigger, I want you to keep in mind that if this feels really exciting for you and you're really excited to integrate this into your life and you want to do so in a setting where everyone's in that energy with you, then this is really the focus of the Alchemy Collective always, but especially this month. Our Pisces season coven ritual was all about, and you can, oh my God, I'm getting so excited, I dropped my mic. It's all about dreaming bigger. So you could get instant access to that right now if you want. And we're going to be focusing on this as we go through Pisces season and go into Aries season at the end of March. So I would really invite you, if this is really lighting you up, you're like, this is exactly what I needed, I need more of this, you need to get inside the Alchemy Collective. And also exciting, if you're listening to this episode and you're feeling kind of like, I want to dream bigger, but I just feel like I'm not quite, I want to know more about the dream before I make it bigger. I want to find more out about who I am, and then what I want. If it feels like you're in a place where you're ready to create more purpose, remember who the fuck you are, then we have something else really special for you. Activate Your Magic is reopening very, very soon. And there's a wait list in the show notes. So I would invite you, especially if some of this stuff feels a little like triggering, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, where you're like, I don't have to dream bigger. I really want you to think about Activate Your Magic, because it's a program that you get to keep forever and ever. You get to keep it and revisit it as many times as you like. And it's really powerful and it's really potent, for especially for the person who is like, I want to dream bigger, but I don't know where to start. It's really about clarity and purpose and really integrating everyday life, just being full of purpose, full of magic. It's sort of the step-by-step, like expanding into that. And then it's a really great companion with Alchemy Collective if you want to like continue that support. So remember those two things as we dive into this, and you're feeling whatever you're feeling.
I'm feeling a lot.
I'm feeling a lot.
I You know, we walk the walk. When we feel the pull, we follow it. And there's a poet, and I don't even know if she would call herself, maybe a mentor. I just think she's like a poet and a spark of fire. And her name's Chelsea Diane, and her handle is at Poems and Peonies. And even if you never get inside one of her paid offerings, her content is so expansive and so amazing. And we had been, Sadie and I had been really leaning into like, how do we go bigger? How do we go bigger? How do we go bigger? And then she announced that she was going to lead a class called Big.
Yeah.
All about this. And we said, we okay. Gotta go. We gotta sign up. So I've already rewatched it 3 times. I took so many notes. So a lot of the things that I'll share with you, you know, were sparked in that class, and did channel through Chelsea. And then we'll, you know, expand upon it and put it in our own words and in our own experiences. But I like, well, okay, while we're listening, let's all, and I have to tell myself, uncross our legs. Let's sit wide. Let's take up some space. Like, stretch out your arms. Ooh, I'm going to do a little yawn. I am downloading something right now. Okay.
Big.
We are big. We're so big and strong.
Really big.
So did you have anything you wanted to touch on, or can I start going through these notes?
I think go through the notes and then I'll go through my notes.
Okay. So the first thing she talked about, which is something I've been tapping into lately, because I know last week I shared that I saw that Fox News thing and it was talking about like women trying to be girl bosses and these just dumb comments. And I thought, wow, it really never went anywhere. It really, it seemed like it maybe the volume went down on it a little bit for a minute there. I call that like the Obama days. I feel like there was a little bit more of this, but I was also maybe 17 when he was voted in, and I went to a school that was like super diverse and inclusive. And so that could have, I mean, that was so lucky and I'm so grateful and I wish the whole world kind of operated like that. But anyways, she opened the class by talking about the fact that for thousands and thousands of years, there have been whole religions built and whole societies built around keeping women quiet and at home. Because when the first woman gave birth and the man witnessed that, he went, and these were her words, shit. We've got to keep her quiet and at home because this, she gives life. She gives life. And, you know, and this patriarchal, agenda to get us to be really concerned about our bodies, to get us to be really concerned about our makeup. And I'm not saying this like, oh, if you can love fitness, you can love makeup. I'm talking about the pressure, talking about the pressure. And this pressure to stay smaller in every way, to cross your legs, to shrink, to take up less space, to, you know, eat less, to be smaller. And when we don't eat like a healthy, nourishing, regular amount of food, our life force energy runs really, really low. And when our life force energy runs really, really low, I mean, what else is there to do but stay home and be quiet?
Well, and so she brought up like literally this pressure to be thin, to be skinny, so we stop eating. When we don't eat enough, our periods stop. We literally cannot give life anymore. I was just like, oh my God, she's right. Like all this pressure we have to literally be smaller literally takes away our ability to give life. I never thought of it that way before. And I was like, mind blown.
I think this was the first time that I connected that, like the connection between the fact that we literally get, like, we give life. And it doesn't just mean a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Life. It doesn't.
Life. Every man came from a woman.
Mm-hmm. And she said, and I loved this. And I was like, God, if I were to get a tattoo, it would be this. She said, we don't do mediocre shit. We don't do mediocre shit. And that lit a fire in me. And I already know that I don't do mediocre shit. But something in it was like, yeah, like I felt like such a wild woman in this call. She talked about how constrictions show you where you can expand and feel bigger. Everyone should go take this class. Please. Seriously. So if you feel a constriction about anything that we ever say or anything that you hear, that's an opportunity for you to expand into that. That's your like golden lesson. That's what we do in the Alchemy Collective. How do we turn this into gold?
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I don't have time, that's mediocre shit she was talking about. She goes, I hear from people all the time that, oh, this person's copying you. This person's copying you. She goes, I don't have time. That's mediocre shit. I don't care. And I loved that. I love that. Because once in a blue moon, I'll see, you know, some things that are pretty heavily influenced by what we do. And I've never cared. And it just sort of validated like, oh yeah, I don't have to care about that. I'm too busy like building this world and creating my art and sharing my truth. And like, nobody does things the way I do things, and I can't do things the way anybody else does things. And I just love that. Like, I don't have time for that. That's mediocre shit. And we don't do mediocre shit. And me just, I burst into flames in the living room, just a standing candle.
Well, it's the abundance mindset, right? Because it's like, mm-hmm. if I feel scarce around my good ideas, I only have so many. So if somebody copies it, like that takes, it's like, no, I'm in a constant state of creation. My good ideas keep flowing. So if you want to take one of mine, well, fine, go ahead. there's more where that came from. It's living in a constant state of abundance. And if someone's heavily influenced by something we say, but they flip it around and put it into their own words, and then it really hits home with someone in their audience, mm-hmm. I'm thrilled by that. And we're sharing right now what we learned from a masterclass. This is the flow. This is the abundance. This is we find the people that are meant for us and we learn from them. Like it's beautiful. Like there's always mm-hmm. more where that came from.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who write songs, but they are afraid to put them online. They're mm-hmm. afraid to share them because they think they're going to be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's one way to move. Mm-hmm. I've always just released my songs, paid for the $30 copyright, registered them on ASCAP, which is free once you're a member, and just hoped for the best. And if somebody takes it, it's like, you know, oh well, if you have grounds to sue them, and if or who cares? Like, I just, you know, you got to get your work and your magic and your truth and all of it outside of you. That's the way to get bigger.
You know, it's funny. I just thought of this, but my uncle was asking me about like, oh, I you know, I heard that you had like a development deal for a show. And I was like, oh yeah, but you know, classic Hollywood, they gave our idea to a celebrity. And I was like, but that's okay. You know, I was like, but that's okay. Like we'll have more ideas. The better idea for us will come along. And he laughed and he was like, that's such a nice Midwest girl thing to say. And I was kind of like, no, that's an abundant, like that's an abundant thing. This, I was like, that's not because I'm too nice. It's because what the fuck am I going to do about it? I'm not going to waste my time being mad or upset. Like we felt disappointed, and it's not about not feeling those feelings. Like we felt disappointed and upset for a short period of time. I don't want to, you know, push away those feelings, but then we were like, well, that's fine. We have a million great ideas in our mind. And mm-hmm. if that's meant for us, then that idea wasn't the one. That's whatever. And that's abundance.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that lately. And, you know, if you're listening, maybe you can relate this to your life. If there was something that you were just like, so sure, like, oh, this is going to be the thing that changes everything. This is going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to look back now, kind of like we're able to look back now and think, maybe they would have made us look really foolish. Maybe they would have pinned us up against each other. Maybe it would have been awful. We were totally protected from that. And like, you know, I just know a zillion people who've been on reality shows and it really wasn't the thing that really changed their life. Like they were on and it was interesting for 5 minutes and then they were off. So
yeah,
I'm just like, gosh, like maybe it was like protecting us. Maybe there's something bigger. And I fully, fully believe that. I think the level of disappointment at this moment feels like, we were going to go to Disneyland and then it rained that day, so we didn't go. Like, that's sort of how I feel about it. It's just like, oh, bummer.
Then, yeah, but I'm like, like, it went from feeling like backstabbed to feeling like, oh, you know, would have been fun, would have been nice, but oh well, another day.
But maybe it wouldn't have been. That's the thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. She also talked about this concept that I think we can dive into about like, you know, I think as women in particular, it's such a virtue for us to be so selfless. It's such a virtue for us to be so selfless. And there are beautiful times and places to be selfless. There are beautiful times and places for that. And she talked about like, when you see the crumb that you want, when you see the thing that you want, she's like, take it. Eat it, you know, in a way that it feels unnatural just with how we were kind of raised. Even with the most like liberal of parents, I still just picked up on cues from the world of like, I mean, I've been trying to get in this habit. You know how when there's like one piece of pizza and nobody's touching it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I always eat it now. I'm like, well, somebody's going to. I don't even feel bad. Or there's like a tiny bit of water left. I mean, maybe I'll ask, does anybody want this? Because I'm going to take it. And then they're like, oh, no, yeah. We'll get more. Like even that little activity of literally taking and eating, there's some power in that. I've been having fun with that at restaurants. Because otherwise it will sit there, it will get cold, and then nobody will enjoy it.
And the waiter ends up taking it away. Literally, that always happens. I'm like, God, I wanted to eat that so bad.
Take and eat.
Take it and eat it.
Okay. Again, go take this class. she said, every time I die, like dark nights of the soul, identity crisis, right? I mean, you've probably seen us go through like 12.
Those episodes, you're like, are they okay? I'm fine.
The fajitas are ready.
Who wants a margarita?
Every time I die, she said, I come back hotter and bigger.
I keep knocking over my microphone. I'm getting so excited.
You're just too big. You're too big.
These huge tits.
Woo! I know. Over here, I can barely contain them in this shirt. Every time I die, I come back bigger and hotter. When you get burned, you keep going. You don't stop. You know who you are. That's big. And how do you find out who you are? You die. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over, and you get really, really brave. You get really, really brave. If you believe you are untouchable, no one can touch you. Oh, and this one like hit me in the gut. those dark night of the soul moments, maybe moments where you deal with like some haters or some haterade or whatever. It's an initiation. It tests your leadership. Can you hold your ground when shit goes down? Mm. Like, are you really who you said you were? Can you really rise above anything? Or is this where you bow out and exit stage left? And I was like, I am a leader. I am big. I can hold the space. I can climb. I can rise again.
Yeah. Woo! I love that. I loved the concept of the initiation. It's like any time that it felt like, think back in your life, and anytime it felt like life was so fucking unfair to you, that was an initiation. It's like, you know, we talk a lot about shifting from a disempowering, or I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but if you work with us inside of programs, mm-hmm. we talk about this. We do a lot of work around this and Activate Your Magic, actually. Go hop on the wait list. But we have a whole module based around how do I shift this story from a disempowering perspective to an empowering perspective. And just to call it an initiation feels so fucking juicy to me. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, yeah, if I could go back and not go through these things, would I choose not to? Of course. I wouldn't choose to go through these really awful, hard things in my life. But when I can look back and say, that was an initiation, that was a moment from then forward that I was different and my life was different, and maybe I was a hot fucking mess trying to navigate through it at first, it's why I am who I am today. I was thinking about this today. I was doing a meditation, a guided one. And it was like, go back in time to a time that was really difficult, and go back again and go back again. And I was like, fuck, I'm going back to all these difficult times. But every time you went back to the difficult moment, she had you remember, but you got through it. You're here now and you're fine. It's 333 right now. And I was like, fuck, she's right. And I didn't always handle all of it gracefully. Like after my mom first passed away, I just numbed myself out. I like partied and partied and partied. And I had a lot of guilt about that for a long time of like, but I just wasn't ready to grieve, and that's fine. It was an initiation yeah. And it was a domino getting flipped over to lead to me where I am today. Even who cares if I was a hot mess at first, that was part of the initiation. That was part of it. And just thinking back to all of those times, oh my God, wait, I'm here now. I made it through. And especially if you're going through something right now, in this very moment, think back to those other times that it felt, the times where it felt impossible. How will I ever come back from this? How will I ever survive this? How am I supposed to not give up right now? You didn't. You're here. Fuck yeah, dude, you did it. I was just like mind blown. I was like, oh yeah, I did it. I'm okay. And I'm here now, and I'll go through more hard shit and I'll be okay. Big, big,
big. I just had a light bulb go off. So last week, I don't think I talked about this on the podcast, but last week I did something that was so deeply uncomfortable. So deeply uncomfortable. We are committed now, me and Victor are on the same page. We're committed to looking at another living situation. And it's just because, I mean, he'll be quiet now for a little bit, but then he'll kick back up again like he typically does. But I can't live beneath the porn hub anymore. I just can't. Like, I've just had it. And he knows, and he doesn't care. And it's just like, you know, we tried to handle it discreetly and privately and through texts and then through going to the door and like practically begging. And then, calling the HOA guy who then had a conversation with him, and it still keeps up. And so they have a meeting once a month in the lobby. So I went down there and did something I've never done before, which was like reprimand a 63-year-old man. I sat there on the couch and I said, "We still have a problem." And he was like, "What?" And he played so dumb. He was like, he goes, I'm 63. I don't know what you're, I travel. And I said, "You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to let you sit here and gaslight me in front of people." And I like really laid it out. And he's like, "Look, I'm the last person who wants to have a problem with anybody." I said, "Okay, well then the solution is very simple. Knock it off." And then when I left, I said, "I'm very disappointed you would use this time to try to gaslight me. Wait, good use of the time." And then I left. And I wanted to crawl out of my skin and die for about 2 days after that. Because do you think I've ever like stared a man twice my age in the face and been like, "Your behavior is unfucking acceptable. You're being so rude and disrespectful." And I'm not talking like I hear a muffled thing now and again. Like it woke us up at 5 a.m. recently. I had to call the police. Like, I mean, it was just ridiculous. I don't want to have trouble with him at all, or anybody. But I was like, you know, I very rarely stand up for myself. Like, that's not my big move. I tend to like see a problem and then move over here. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm observing this. I see this. I want nothing to do with this. And then I maneuver. I don't usually face it. But as you know, we dive into this work, I was like, good for me.
Yeah.
And let him feel uncomfortable. And he's like, "You know, this isn't really the time." And I was like, "No,
well, the HOA manager told me to every come other now. Way." Yeah.
I said, "No, you've inconvenienced me about 100 times. So this is the time." And I was just like, "Who is this? Like, you know, who am I?"
Fuck
but
yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to just, and now I'm sure he's uncomfortable when he sees us. Good. You know, it's like there's this interesting thing between like, how do I balance love and light and magic with people don't get to steamroll me.
Yeah.
People don't get to disrespect me. Mm-hmm. And it's an element of bigness that I'm really uncomfortable in and that I really need to do a lot of work around. And so I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, this was kind of a gift. It's also that thing where, you know, maybe women listening can relate. We don't want to rock the boat and we want to be likable and we want to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get scared. I came home the night. I was like, what if this man breaks into the apartment and kills me? Like, you know, it's like these things that cross our minds. He won't. But it's just this level of bigness where I didn't call him any names. I didn't threaten him. I just stood my ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in what other way? I mean, you and I created boundaries in our world, mm-hmm. you know, on the back end. Where it's like, just anywhere in life, it's like, I'm not going to speak disrespectfully to anybody. And I'm not going to let anybody speak disrespectfully to me. Like, that's just not how this pony ride is going to go. So that's like, ooh, like now that I look back, I'm like, wow, this was like pristine timing. Like I had an opportunity to be big. So are there places in your life where you could be bigger, where you could stand up for yourself? Doesn't mean that's, being, you know, nasty. I wasn't nasty. I was just really direct.
It's another good example of like practice being big at home. It's maybe it feels really easy to feel big at home, which I, you know, that's where I'm at. It feels easy to be big at home. It feels pretty easy to feel big when I'm creating content or feeling big when I'm showing up for this podcast recording or teaching inside the Alchemy Collective. It feels pretty good to be big in those instances. But then when I leave my little world I created, practicing being big out there too, right? And like that's an example is like sometimes it's fun to be big and sometimes it's, you know, scary to be big. Sometimes it's really confronting, but something we do for ourselves, and it's really important. And it's fun to be big to create our dream lives, but it's also important to be big to protect our lives, like, and be feel good in our mm-hmm. lives and not. Yeah, it's like, it's wonderful to be accommodating for people. And we practice that all the time. We have boundaries in our business, and there's times where we're very accommodating, right? Like when it feels really good to us, but it's always a balance. You have to be in harmony with, like, are you being accommodating or are you being steamrolled? Right. And feeling really good and in the right energy when you are accommodating, and feeling really good when you hold ground on your boundaries. It's a dance, and it's a practice, and we're still learning to do that too. It's important.
Well, and for most of our lives, we didn't have practice or encouragement to do that. I mean, school wasn't about your boundaries. Mm-hmm. It was about your teacher's boundaries, the rules. Mm-hmm. Can I go to the bathroom? No.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
shit. But I like the absurdity of, like, having your period in high school and knowing you're about to leak, and a teacher being like, you can't go to the bathroom, we're taking a test. And it's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just bleed on this wooden fucking seat then. Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's a thing that we have to, like, ask for permission. No wonder we're all messed up. You know,
I had a teacher who wouldn't let us drink water. I got in trouble once. I was sick and I drank a sip of water, and he walked over to me in front of the whole class and was like, I'll take that. And then I had to go apologize to him afterwards for drinking water in class. This is a human bodily need. It wasn't soda. It wasn't going to spill and get sticky. Right.
You weren't crunching on your Doritos and, like, licking every finger. And that, you know, it's like
water. And I wish in hindsight, because I had a couple friends who were so good at being big at a young age. Mm-hmm. I had a couple friends who, one of them was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And the teacher was like, well, you're not going. And she's like, I'm not going to pee on the floor. I'm getting up. I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be back in 6 minutes. And the teacher, like, gave her detention. And then they called the mom, and the mom was like, what? I'm sorry, what's the problem? And the mom, like, totally had her back. And then I had another friend who, you know, worked really hard, and he didn't do well on a test. And the teacher said something really nasty in front of everybody. Like, well, I guess you just, like, aren't trying hard enough. And he stood up and he's like, don't ever tell me that I'm not trying hard enough. And he just walked out, 15 years old, walked out. And I was like, that was an option? That was an option?
Yeah.
So some people are born bigger, and the rest of us have to learn how to take up more space. Mm-hmm. And it does feel icky and uncomfortable at first, because we're used to being very, very constricted, very contracted. Even mm-hmm. in our bigness, we have our edges that we're really trying to push past.
Well, okay, let me see. What you just said is an important point too, because remember that, like, our ego gives us the excuse that, like, well, I can't take up more space because I'm, you know, there's not, like, I don't want to outshine them or put them down or whatever. But Juliet just said she saw somebody be big, and she was like, oh, like, I could be like that. And yes, sometimes when we're big, people get triggered, but that's probably because they need the invitation to be big too. That's something that they can put into practice too. But I just think the bigger that you get, the people you love in your life see that, they feel safe to get bigger too. You're doing the mm-hmm. world a favor when you take up space. It's so important.
I feel so buzzy the more we expand, because it was and it is other big women mm-hmm. who you go, oh, that's possible? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. It like cracks open your worldview.
And
it's amazing.
I feel like most of my mentors, at one point or another, I've been so triggered by them mm-hmm. because it was something that I wasn't ready to see in myself. I wasn't. And that's really cool too, to be able to sit with that and be like, ooh, I love this person and what they create, but I feel triggered right now. Ooh, that's interesting.
Right.
Let me explore that. Let me sit with that. And I think most of the time when we're triggered, it's a practice in like, am I being invited to be bigger? I think that's a lot of the time what it really truly is.
Absolutely. I bump into that, I think, when I see people I really look up to spending large amounts of money in really just all sorts of ways. Like, Oh, we traveled here in first class, and then we bought 3 Chanel purses, and then I was at the spa for 6 hours. And something about that, because minus the handbag, I'm not really a handbag person, but everything else sounds like, heck yeah, I'd love to do that. But there's something in me that needs to grow in that area where it's like, actually, it's not my business what another person does with their money. Actually, it's nobody's business what I do with mine. Actually, like, there's something in there for me. So when you feel those triggers, I love that. It's an opportunity to expand. It's something to look at. It's kind of a gift in disguise. And maybe you morally just disagree with it. Maybe you're like, every dollar I earn, I want to give to an organization. Like, maybe that's your MO, and that's great. But I think if it was your MO, I don't think it would trigger you as much. I think you would just be like, oh, that's not how I would do it. Mm-hmm. But if it like hits a nerve, there's maybe a lesson in there for you. So on this topic, she was explaining the difference between arrogance, being arrogant, and magnanimous. Did you get to that part?
Mm-hmm.
And how arrogant is, I'm bigger than everybody else. I'm big, but I'm also small because I only see it for me. And how to be magnanimous is, I'm big and so are you, and get over here and let's be big together and let's take up space. Yeah. And I felt like, oh, that's what we do. More of that, more of that.
Yes.
And I was like, magnanimous. That'd be another great tattoo. No mediocre shit under my left boob and magnanimous under the right. I love Kajabi on my butt. That platform, I'm telling you. So, gosh, I love that. And then there was this concept of, some people are on unstoppable trains, and how you gotta get out of their way. And maybe you're on an unstoppable train, and you know that me and Sadie are on an unstoppable train. Like, you know, this train is not stopping.
Hop so on the God of Things choo-choo train.
Hop on or come ride parallel to us. Let's go there together. But I love that visual. I was like, I am on an unstoppable train. This is life. Ooh. It was so, you know, we lead so many calls and we get reactions like this. People are like, that was exactly what I needed. That was so juicy. Ah. And to be able to be a student on the other side of it, so I was like, this is what people feel. Oh my God, this is amazing. Let's see. The future version of you lives in you now. That's something we chatted about in, I think, the Alchemy Collective, talking about how important it is to sort of like remove that veil between who you are presently and where you're going, and how it's really, it's not like there's you here and you way over there. It's still you. Like, you know, when you were 15 and you thought about getting into college and then you got there and it was just still you. And then you thought about moving out and you got there and it was still you. Like, it's not like a different person appears to take that place. It's still you. It's just you a little bigger. It's just you a little more expansive and fully expressed. And so that idea of that version of you lives in you now and how important it is to claim it. And, you know, with manifestation, that's the whole energy work. I mean, you dive into that with me and with all of our people all the time.
Yeah. I was thinking about this a lot and how we have this concept of the higher self. And I was kind of like, I'm kind of tired of that. I'm like, there's no higher self. Higher is me looking up at something above me. I'm just like, what do we call it? It's the self, maybe with a capital S. But it's time to stop thinking that there's this higher self, this highest self that we're like reaching towards. And I like the concept of it, but the way we verbalize it as higher, I'm like, how do we say it differently? Just to say that I'm looking eye to eye with me, you know, because there is no, it's not separate. It's not. And that's just a, you know, a way to understand. It's a more, you know, maybe a whole version of ourselves, but yeah, it's like, it's an illusion that there's some separate thing that we look up towards to tell us what to do. It's the word self is in there. It's us. It's in us all along. We've had the answers all along. It's not something up on a pedestal. It's here with you now. And it's just about, it's like the, I think I said this in a reading recently. I don't think it was a call, but you know, when you go to the eye doctor, I don't know, at least for me, because I have prescriptions and they go like one or two. And you're trying to find the clearest possible version. I feel like that's like the spiritual journey, is trying to figure out like, which lens do I see the world through the clearest possible? And it's like, that's what the higher self is helping us do, is like one or two, A or B. Like what lens do I need to see this more clearly through? But it's someone that's here with us. It's not, it's in us. It's not separate. It's not above us. It's here.
I think just recreating that visual is really nice, because yeah, higher self, when you hear the word higher, you think, oh, it's something up there, out there, out of reach. But I think when I think higher self, I think like my deepest truth, my deepest voice. Like I tend to think like inward. So, I mean, you can call it your most truthful self, your higher self, your hotter self, your happier self, your most authentic, most genuine self, living their full potential.
I need to text my brother because he keeps calling me.
I am at work discussing being big. Okay. Let me see what else your people tell you bigger. She was talking about the kind of company you want to keep, and goes back to that thing we've talked about where like the five people closest to you, even if it's like the five podcasts you listen to, the five books you read, it doesn't have to be people that you sit down and have lunch with necessarily. You want to be around if you're somebody who wants to grow and expand, and you love that idea of, while I'm on this earth, I want to see how big I can get. I want to see how big I can go. And whatever it is, I'm not even talking about money. I'm not talking about expression. The people that you want in that top five are going to be the ones that tell you to go bigger. And that when you tell them what's up and what you dream of and what you're excited about, they go, hell yeah. They want to see that happen for you. They don't swoop in with all these reasons why it's not going to happen, because that's the biggest giveaway of their beliefs about what's possible. It has nothing to do with you. It never has. So I loved that.
You know where a good place to be surrounded in that energy is? The Alchemy Collective.
It really is. It really is. We, you know, like everything we do, we started it and then I'm like, I'm transforming. And so is everybody inside. We're so lucky. We're so grateful. And then the last thing I'll say about this class, which I just loved it so much. You know, you can ask yourself playfully, I wonder if I can expand into blank. I wonder if I can expand into that wardrobe. I wonder if I can expand into that level of visibility. I wonder if I can expand into that amount of trust in myself. I wonder if I can expand into that type of strong intuition. I wonder if I can expand into that number, whether it's a dollar amount or, you know, however many people interact with whatever it is you create. I wonder if I can expand into that. And I felt like it rocked my world because we do scientifically think the same thoughts, like you taught me, 90%, 90 to 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's that other 5 to 10% that come in that are different. Hopefully when you listen to this podcast, you get a little dose of that 5 to 10%. That's the goal.
Well, and you want to work on changing that. We don't want to be thinking 90% of the same thoughts every day. That's the goal, right? Is to just really be aware of that and shift that.
And this past week, I have been thinking so many new thoughts. And something that we did after our coven call, we had some amazing journal prompts and we did this beautiful mermaid meditation, like really profound. One of the questions was like, what's your greatest dream? What's your greatest vision? Okay, now go bigger with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now go even bigger with it. Playing with our edges is fun. And it really made me scratch my head. I was like, gosh, how could I go even bigger than that? How could I go even bigger than that? And it's also this funny thing of like, when you push to that level, all of a sudden your big dream feels a lot more doable because it's there's something psychological in that. Right?
Well, it's like, I wrote this down in my notes. It's like that saying of like, shoot for the moon and you'll land among the stars. I'd rather not hit that biggest goal, but be pretty close than stay on the ground. Right? Like, I have the option to stay the same, or I have the option to dream the biggest fucking dream possible. And I know at the very least, I'm going to make it beyond where I am right now. And that's going to be pretty fucking cool.
Right. No more shooting for clouds. We're going for the moon. We're going for Saturn. We're going for the next galaxy over. Mm-hmm. No more clouds. We're done. We're leaving clouds behind. We're leaving it behind. And it feels really good. And it feels really exciting. And I saw another post this week that said, all the people that you're afraid are judging you or might judge you are all going to die. And it was morbid, but it was like, oh yeah, what does it matter?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're all going to die while we're here. We should at least have some excitement and fun.
Oh my God. I can't wait till
we really want to do.
When we're in our 60s or 70s, we're going to win lifetime achievement awards for being the witches who changed the world.
Fuck yeah, we are.
I mean, that's bigger. I hadn't thought of that till this moment. I want to win a lifetime achievement award. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
You sparked magic in the lives of millions of people around the world. Dolly Parton will somehow still be alive and she'll give us she'll give us the award.
Her hologram will.
Oh, Dolly. A Dollygram.
A Dollygram. But it's her consciousness is downloaded into it because this is, you know, this is where we're headed.
So what is, for everybody listening, what lit a fire in you in this episode. How can you expand? How can you be bigger? How can you have fun with that? There's just like how can you take your dream and then like, you know, pour a little gasoline on it and make it even bigger? Like, it's something that is not commonly asked. It's like, what's your dream? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, awesome. Well, could you go deeper? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Okay, like let's say that was totally possible. Like, what would the next step be? What would the next level be? It's fun. It's fun. I feel so big.
Big.
I'm spreading my legs.
We have a full episode, and I haven't even touched on my hour-long pages notes.
I want to hear it. I am going to lean back.
I'm sure we kind of went through some of it, but okay, I was thinking about this. I've been having a lot of shower thoughts lately. I was thinking about this. Being big, it's not about being the loudest person in the room, right? Yeah. It means, or think about like the times you've walked into a room and felt the presence of someone, and how many times it's been the person that's in silence, observing the room, maybe nodding as someone's talking, but you feel their energy. Like they're filling up the whole room with their presence. Like that's being big. And maybe sometimes it means being the loudest one. Fuck yeah, we love that. But it's not always that. So maybe you think being big equals being really outgoing or being really social. And it's not that at all. It's like owning who you are down to your core. And something else it doesn't necessarily mean. We've done episodes about being a multi-passionate bitch. That's what, I loved that episode we did. And we're multi-passionate witches. And that's part of being big, but it goes beyond that. And I was thinking about in the shower, and I loved this Alanis Morissette song when I was a kid. Bitch. Like when she's like, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint, I'm a child, I'm a mother, you know, like all of these things. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's being big. Mm. It's being all of it. Like being big is owning that we're fucking human. And sometimes we're a bitch and sometimes we're a lover, right? And sometimes we want to be taken care of. And sometimes we want to take the lead. And it's like, And she says, I do not feel ashamed owning it. Like this is being big, being like, it's there's no part of you that makes you more or less worthy of being big, of creating a big life. It's like, oh no, like I was a bitch to my husband last night. I'm just not the kind of person that can do that if I react to things that way. Fuck that. You're human. And like I was thinking about like sometimes I want to be in the energy of like, babe, I can't open the pickle jar, and sometimes I just bang it on the counter and I crack it right open, right? There's like this like we can move through these energies. We can move through these energies of being like in our ultra feminine and being in this energy of big dick energy. We can do it all. Like being big is being like, who do I want to be today? What energy do I want to move through the world in today? It can be different than yesterday. It's just like owning it. Like, how do I feel? Do I want to be a crybaby today? All right, I'm going to move through these emotions because I'm big and I claim it and I don't shove them down. And again, it doesn't make you more or less worthy. Like I just wrote, like, sometimes I'm overflowing with love and compassion and I'm channeling profound messages, and sometimes I'm a whiny bitch. Does it make me less worthy? Does it make me less worthy of like leading a space or having a podcast because sometimes I feel whiny or sometimes I have to complain? No. Makes me human, right? And it's like, sometimes we're like really forgiving and understanding, and sometimes someone cuts us off in traffic and we're like, fuck you asshole. Who cares? It's fine. Like, we're human. And so it's like we're tipping the scale, right? Like we're on these spiritual journeys, all of us here together in this community, and we're learning how to be spend more of our time feeling good and feeling empowered and feeling confident. But just because we're human and sometimes we're whiny or sometimes we're bitchy or sometimes we're an asshole, whatever. Like, it doesn't mean that we're less worthy of creating big lives and being big. It's just about tipping the scale and being really like being such a witness. Like, oh, I was really in a mood today. What's going on with me? Like being so aware, because the more aware you are and the more you can own it, the quicker you move through it and the less it happens, like the not so fun stuff, right? So I was just really thinking about being big as being fucking alive in every capacity, not denying yourself it, standing up for yourself like Juliet did, right? It's all of it. Witnessing it, expanding into it, owning it, And I was thinking about the idea of dreaming bigger and how sometimes this can feel triggering because maybe it feels like in some way it's an attack on your life right now or an attack on your desires. Like, oh, how dare you think that my life is small or I'm dreaming small. I definitely relate to this. Like before I really like owned my desires and owned my dreams and I was keeping myself small, I was like, maybe not all of us want to be big, right? But big has a different meaning to each of us. Just like we talked about in the Crystal Clear Clarity episode, like your dream life is different than mine. Me and Juliet, a lot of our dream life is on the same page and a lot of it is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we can't work together. Doesn't mean we can't dream big together. So it's not really what we mean. There's no judgment of what a bigger dream or what your desire, there's no judgment on if it's big or not. It's more about sparking you. And I was just thinking about, I have some examples of what this could mean. So if you feel like you don't know where to start, what's the OG dream before I can dream bigger? Go do the Crystal Clear Clarity episode. And like I already mentioned, think about Activate Your Magic, go hop on the wait list. Because it's we're really talking about expansion here. Like fuck whatever society identifies as a small dream or a small life or whatever. That does not matter. It's what it means to you and not what it means to me or Juliet either. It's like, it's you. What do you want? What feels big and juicy and hot and fun to you? And I was kind of like laughing because I was like, my big dream is like so typical and so cliche. Oh, I want to travel the world. I want to fly first class. I'm like, oh, boring, Sadie. That's your big dream. There's more of my big dreams. But, you know, I want to have a beachfront home in LA. Like, okay, I'm a pretty cliche big dream girl. And I'm owning that. I'm owning that. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's what I want. I don't care if it's in all the movies. It's what I want. Mm-hmm. But someone else's big, expansive, huge, juicy, big dream could be creating a completely self-sufficient home out in the woods and living off-grid and having no social media presence and mm-hmm. living off the land. And maybe the small, quote, small version of that dream was having a garden in the backyard and growing most of your own fruits and veggies. And this is the expansive version of, you know what? Fuck that. I want to go bigger. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to live off the grid. It doesn't, it's whatever you think a big dream is, fuck that. What is it? What is your big dream?
Yeah.
It's so different for each of us. So when we talk about dreaming bigger, it can mean anything to you. And that's the exciting part. So if you feel bored with life or you feel like, oh my God, every day is the same, every week is the same, every month is the same, every whatever year is the same, this is where the magic is. This is your opportunity. You got to want more and you get to want more and you got to dream bigger and you got to think, you know, this isn't a place to be reasonable or be logical. Like, what do you actually want? There's no one here to judge it. You can keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You can come in the Alchemy Collective and tell us and we'll be like, fuck yeah, you're going to create that. And it's like, just think of something you want. Like, it doesn't have to be the biggest dream you have, but just like any desire. And I'm trying to play with this when I just like want something simple. I'm like, how could I go bigger? Mm-hmm. How could I want that even more? And so I have a couple examples. One of them being like, maybe you desire more income. And so you desire a raise. How could I go bigger in that? Maybe you actually desire and deserve a fucking promotion that wouldn't be a 3% raise. It would like double your income. And it's time for you to claim that desire. And it's time for you to speak up and ask for it and say, I'm ready for this and I deserve this. Maybe that's expanding the dream. Maybe it's a desire for adventure and travel. And so go bigger and stretch beyond what that typically means to you, to what you actually want. And that is really adventurous. Like maybe it's treating yourself to a more luxurious experience than usual that just stretches you a little outside the comfort zone. Maybe if like, you know, maybe it's like you typically go to like beach resort vacations and what you've really been wanting to do is like a backpacking trip in Europe. But that, oh, that's like a lot of planning and that's stressful. I don't know. It's like, how do you stretch it? How do you expand it? How do you go deeper? How do you go bigger? Maybe it's your having your own business and the desire is to go full time in it. Go bigger. You don't just want to go full time. You don't want to just replace your income. Like, you want to create a $20 million business. And I know everyone here listening that has an entrepreneurial heart, you have so much love and magic to share. So guess what it would mean if you had a $20 million business? It would mean that you had shared your magic in whatever capacity with like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that's amazing. How is that selfish to want a $20 million business when you're sharing your magic with that many fucking people? It's like our biggest dreams are not inconveniencing anyone. They're not putting anyone out. They're not selfish. Mm-hmm. They mean something to the world. And they don't even have to mean something to the world, but I guarantee you they all do. But our bigger dreams expand us and the lives of those around us. When we do something brave, our children, our partners, our friends, people on social media, they go, whoa, that person did that. Maybe I could too. It's important. No matter how frivolous you think, Juliet said, oh, this person that buys 3 Chanel bags. I've been triggered. I know who she's talking about. And I've been triggered by that too. And I was like, yeah, but like maybe someday, like, I don't think I would, but like, if I wanted to, I could. Mm-hmm. I want to be the kind of person that could waltz into a Chanel store and impulse. No, I wanted one, but impulse buy 2 more and it'd be no big deal. That sounds amazing. I don't think I ever would, but I want to be the kind of person that mm-hmm. could.
Right.
And that person has that kind of money because she changes the world and she changes lives. And so it's not frivolous and it's not selfish. She does so much good for the world, right? So when you dream big, you're giving permission for the people around you to dream big too. And when you dream big and you go after that big magic, like your magic ripples out into the world. So just remember that. And we're focusing on this all month long inside the Alchemy Collective. So we'd really love to see you there. It's going to be so powerful to be in the group energy. Our alchemists mm-hmm. can already speak to that. And just remember, we also have Activate Your Magic too. If you feel like that's a place to start. If you're like, ooh, I want to dream bigger, but what's the original dream? Sadie and Juliet, that sounds amazing, but gosh, I don't even know what the dream is. Activate Your Magic is for you. Mm-hmm. And that's my rant on dreaming big.
Oh my gosh. The dangers of dreaming small mm-hmm. helps no one at all. Remember that little song from like a year or 2 ago?
I want to listen back to that episode now.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be like an explosion, like to compare to that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good. Oh my gosh. Good. Well, thank you everybody for spending such an expansive hour and a half mm-hmm. with us. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. Remember that we also have our new 51-page Witchcraft Yay! For Beginners guidebook. It's free.
Yes, we do.
It's ready for you. Hop in there.
It's free.
It's free. Can't believe it.
Oh my God.
I can't hardly believe it.
Every day, Sadie and I send back and forth the gif of Lucille Bluth going, ah.
And the one of Paul Rudd going, look at us. Who would have thought? We just send the same 2 gifs back and forth forever.
And that is our partnership and our friendship.
Yep. Look at us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, go get that book. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Go get that book. Tell us how you're dreaming big this week. Tag us in your stories of you doing something big and expansive, being big this week. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I want to see you out there in the real world being big. And we have lots of magic in the show notes, so go check that out. Make sure you're following us on social media. Same handles on Instagram and TikTok. At Goddess Hangs, I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper. And we will see you.
We'll see you next week. I was like, is there anything else? We'll see you next week. Go be big, goddesses. Bye.
Go be big, big witch energy.
Big witch energy. Woohoo.